Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome into our special edition of Sports Talk at the Rouses Market in Houma, Martin Luther King Boulevard. Shop and save at Rouses, the official supermarket of the Saints. Remember, folks, Louisiana sweet potatoes right now for Thanksgiving, just 23 cents a pound. You save 76 cents a pound right now. Cajun Cannon, Mike, we're going to welcome in now Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak to the radio huddle. Jeff, I know it's a strange day to be back at a Saints practice on a Tuesday, but it was good to see, at least I saw, from what everyone was saying on Twitter, that Tano Passanio back on the field. So more and more of these banged up black and gold members are getting back at least.
Yeah, I kept forgetting what day of the week it was. Because, yeah, Tuesday is typically the off day. The players and the staff is getting Thursday off for Thanksgiving. So the Saints practice today. We didn't get an injury report, though. So, you know, while we have attendance, we can look at it. We don't actually know who was limited, who wasn't. But, yeah, Tano Passanio has been out all year with a torn Achilles that he actually got – he injured during a workout in the offseason. I think he was running at the facility. And we've seen him kind of working off to the side basically all year long. Like, it's kind of been a running joke. Like, oh, there's Tano again, because he's always out there working with trainers. So it's kind of cool to see a guy work his whole way back. And at one point during practice, Darren Rizzi went up to him and just kind of like, you know, patted him on the head. Like, it's good to see you. He broke the team down. So, yeah, I think anytime you get a player back like that, there's going to be an energy boost. The funny thing is, we were talking about on the podcast yesterday, the defensive end group has been remarkably healthy. I think Peyton Turner's missed one game. Chase Young hasn't missed a game. Carl Granderson hasn't missed a game. Cam Jordan hasn't missed a game. So I don't even know if they necessarily have a spot for him right now. But it's still good to get guys like that back.
Jeff, one of the guys didn't look like he was in participation today, but this may have been a Veterans Day off. Eric McCoy. And so maybe kind of comment about that. We know Eric got hurt, and he kind of pulled himself out.
Now, was it the same groin or different groin or what, Jeff?
I would think it's the same injury. And maybe he felt a little tightness.
Yeah, I think what Deuce talked about on the broadcast was like scar tissue could be an issue, stuff like that. Basically, what Darren said on the Monday after the game was he got tests. They came back clean. They weren't super concerned about it. It was a good thing they were on a bye, so they didn't really have to ask that question. But, yeah, we go out to practice today. He's not there. It sounds like because they started practice early, they were choosing to kind of just give him a normal practice week. It starts on Wednesday. So if he's out there in a limited capacity tomorrow, I think we'll feel a lot better about it in terms of his availability. But for now, you still have to watch it because, you know, obviously he had surgery on that groin. It's not a good thing to see him dealing with that still as you're trying to get through a season. So if he can't go, I imagine it would be Shane Lemieux starting. I don't know who would be the backup. Maybe Lucas Patrick, but he wasn't out there either. It seems like he's still working back from that ankle injury. So definitely some questions on the offensive line again.
Bob?
You know, Jeff, what I'm pleasantly surprised about is a success, because I said, I don't know how it's going to work out. Now, from an offensive perspective, because most teams, you don't have your number one receiver, you don't have number two. So, boy, you look at it, no Chris Olave, no Rashid Shaheed. What's going to happen? I don't know. Maybe Derek Carr has gotten better because Ali spread the ball around. Now, I'm going to give an example. You look at the group of receivers before this recent two-week stretch. They had just had 15 catches for 104 yards this season, you know, in a Saints uniform. Then all of a sudden, you look at two games without either Chris Olave or Rashid Shaheed in the lineup. Derek Carr has completed almost 71.5% of his passes, 517 yards, four touchdowns, zero interceptions in the last two games. Has a QB rating, passer rating of 128.5. I'm saying, what? Now, what's been surprising, and we all know about Valdez Scantling. Last two games, five catches, 196 yards, three touchdowns. Boy, really, Rashid Shaheed times two kind of thing. But the one thing that I think what Derek Carr has done, and it's been a pleasant surprise, I guess, because you still put him in this category as being a tight end, would be the three-headed monster. You know, look, Foster Moreau, Juwan Johnson, and Taysom Hill. You look in the last 2 weeks, the tight ends, how they've been utilized. Taysom Hill has 10 catches. Juwan Johnson, 5. Foster Moreau, 3. Think about how important and what they've meant to Derek Carr. So I can say, I don't know what's going to happen against the Rams, but I think the tight ends will be targeted, considering the success Derek Carr has had with that position. When you're looking at over the last two games, you're talking about 18 catches from the tight end position. So when all said and done, you look at targets, catches, I don't know. I think it's going to be somewhere like 7 to 10 in this game against the Rams and try and exploit that, considering Derek Carr, no, being a quarterback, how you comfortable in having success with those individuals. But that would, to me, shows you that Derek Carr is a lot better than you think. If they block for him, now how many quarterbacks can say you don't have your number one, number two receiver, and he still has a quarterback rating 128.5 and throwing it basically 7.5% and no picks and 4 touchdowns. No, Derek Carr, look, you can love the future and all what's going to happen with Spencer Rattler or Jake Haner and all that. No, Derek Carr is a difference maker. Whether you want to believe that, I just know what happened the last two games.
Because you saw what right. The two backups could do.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, I think when we look back at this season, whatever it ends up being, we're going to look back and we're going to say, okay, who had kind of a pleasantly surprising good season? Like, who put up a lot more stats and numbers than we probably thought they were going into the year? I would guess Foster Moreau would be the top answer to that question. I think he's had a really strong season for a guy you didn't expect to impact the passing game all that much. As far as Derek, I agree. I think he said a couple weeks ago he thinks he's playing the best football of his career right now, and it's hard to disagree when you see what he's been able to do and with the cast of characters he's done it with. You look at one stat I'll point to, and I was kind of digging into this morning. The Saints have only allowed 7 sacks in 8 starts with Derek Carr. And that's not for great offensive line play. That's a quarterback understanding when he needs to get rid of the ball, when a play is dead, not taking bad results. And, you know, you could say, hey, well, maybe the offensive line is just pass protected. Well, this same offensive line allowed 14 sacks in 3 starts with Spencer Rattler back there. So I think one thing that we take for granted with Derek, at least this year specifically, he hasn't been taking sacks, and he's been putting the Saints in better offensive positions. And I think when you do that, you give yourself a better chance for success, particularly when you don't have the star players to bail you out of bad situations. So that's where I look at Derek, and I say he makes a big impact in terms of when he's on the field versus when he's off the field.
Jeff, one of the things, and watching him throughout his college career in the NFL, he sort of bounced around. The one thing he was consistent with was dropping passes, and that's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. When he's with the Saints, 0 drops. He's caught 6 passes for 201 yards.
Oh, yeah.
3 of the 6 catches went for touchdowns. He's averaging 33.5 yards a catch.
If he just cuts that in half, he's still amongst the leaders in the league.
I was going to say that.
That's crazy. No, keep that up. You know, that's been a pleasant surprise. I tell you what, as far as because, Jeff, I know you got to love the way Derek Carr throws that long ball. I can tell you, I think out of all NFL quarterbacks, how he's not trying to be – sometimes I've watched it last night, even Justin Herbert.
Yep.
Trying to be too accurate.
He's aiming it.
Put more air under the ball, let the receiver run under it. Derek Carr is as good as anybody in the league on those long balls.
Oh, I agree 100%. And you again, yeah, you're right. Look around the NFL and watch some quarterbacks throw a deep ball and then go watch – some of the long touchdowns the Saints have been able to pull off over the last couple of years, whether it's Rashid, whether it's MVS, whether it's Chris Olave, anybody, he just puts it out there well. And, you know, I think Derek's arm talent is impressive, right? And when he's putting it all together, you see, okay, this is why he's getting paid or he's getting paid. Can it be consistent? That's the question. And I do think, like, if you're the Saints and you're talking about a guy who showed up in week 9 in MVS and you're seeing what you're getting out of him now, definitely is a win.
Okay, we lost Jeff.
That was our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Noak. We'll catch up with him. I'll be talking to him tomorrow morning. Doing,
but you know who can throw a
inside
real good,
Black and Gold podcast.
You know who can throw a real good long ball too. Man, I'll watch it. Josh Allen.
Oh yeah.
What's
yeah.
that height under it? Man, he got a rifle. And you're talking about a 255-pound man throwing that.
I didn't get that nickname Cajun Cannon for nothing.
He just put it AC, go no, run under it.
Mark Super Duper, I played world-class sprinters. I'm telling you, they must really work on that a lot. No, you know what I did? I knew they were going to run past the defender, and I always knew the trajectory and the angle, and I just throw it out there and let him go get it. Like I would tell Jeff George this, who could throw as good as John Elway and Dan Marino, he's trying to throw it like 60 yards down the field like a bullet. I go, no, and the receiver.
It was a rope throw.
And then he ended up throwing it over their head. I go, no, put some air in that you're going to have a touchdown. See, I don't know how you process that, but Derek Carr does an outstanding job with that. Watch how he drops it in the well. We're all talking about dropping it in the well. Man, we've seen that drill that they did in training camp and the garbage cans.
Yeah, sure, right.
Man, June Jones invented that. I'll tell you, June Jones, the first one, going back to Warren Moon and all that, throwing as quarterbacks, trying to be, you know, you might be across the field 30, 40 yards and trying to drop that football in a garbage can.
I would say in our lifetime, who had the most talent never achieved that big level? Jeff George.
Oh, yes.
My God, he could throw a football.
Jeff George, I'm telling you, I think Archie Manning's in here. The number of starts, like 100-plus starts, whatever. Like Jeff George, Archie Manning, one of the individuals, you probably can look, Google this, like a winning percentage of like 32-33%. No, you know, you talk about like started a lot of games and did not win.
Nothing.
No, and Jeff George, that's one thing him and Archie have in common.